Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we edge towards Scottish Cup final weekend. Brendan Rodgers says beating Aberdeen would turn a good season into a brilliant season for Celtic on the managerial search. Sure, Kettlewell's now been mentioned as the potential new manager of Kilmarnock, and it is Scottish Premiership playoff final first leg time tonight. Who will it be, Livingston or Ross County, who takes the lead into that second leg? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Gordon DL and the man who was knocked out in the previous round of the playoffs, Mark Wilson.
Thanks for reminding me that. I had a few days away just to forget all about it, but I'm looking forward to the season drawn to a close. Scottish Cup final just round the corner. Plenty of stories on the go. Managerial hunts underway. But the big one tonight, I'd like to wish Livy and Ross County all the best for the big game tonight.
Yeah, I agree with Mark. A massive game for both. And then you look forward to Saturday. I always said, even when I played, the best game of the year was the Scottish Cup final. And I think everyone's looking forward to that. Aberdeen going as massive underdogs, Celtic massive favourites. But cup football's cup final, cup football. But at the end of the day, I'm just looking forward to finding out who's got to be the manager of Kilmarnock, who's got to be the manager of Rangers, and who's got to be the manager of Partick Thistle.
Yeah, who would you rather play in the Championship next season when you get the Partick Thistle job? Would it be Livingston or Ross County?
Oh, take either of them. Either, any of them.
Is that him? Is that an exclusive?
Under 18s, because the under 18 team will have to come in.
That's where I stand. Any news?
Nothing new. I actually went away for a few days there. The hunt is underway at Partick Thistle. Ian Barakoff is searching.
I'll give you an exclusive.
Is it just me, or is it a funny way of showing you want the job? You go to Ibiza in the week that the interviews are taking place.
But listen.
You're meant to hang around and say, pick me.
No, I knew what it was.
He's been on the phone constantly. Well, Zoom. His phone rang on the studio. In the studio on Saturday,
it did.
Right? And we know who called him. He went away to Ibiza, right? But I was sitting in a bus the other day and I heard people talking.
Hold on,
wait a minute.
Why were you on the bus?
Because I was going into Glasgow.
You got the bus in?
I got the bus in, yeah.
Bus pass. Okay.
And I hear two people sitting very well connected in Scottish football because they were in the same bus. And they said that Mark Wilson would be Partick Thistle in the dugout next year.
Who else is in the Motherwell to be Cannon Street?
I forgot
bus.
All about myself there in Partick Thistle. I want to know more about this bus.
Who else? What big hitter in Scottish football? And I would not dream of looking down on public transport. It's a vital service.
Not just one.
But two of them.
Two big decision makers in Scottish football are on the X11 or whatever it's called.
How did you know it was X11?
Well, I used to live in Motherwell, didn't I?
Yeah. And you just managed to overhear them. You weren't part of this conversation.
Well, I sort of sneaked in at the back.
That sounds so
and
made
up. I think they spoke loudly for my benefit.
That's not true. I can't imagine you on the bus.
Do you know what I can imagine?
I was got the back of the bus.
I got the front seat at the top deck of the bus.
The two people
kid on
saying,
driving.
Watch this. We'll convince Gordon DL that Mark Wilson's getting this Partick Thistle job, and he'll fall for it and repeat it on the radio.
Made me feel better.
Wait till it comes out tomorrow, and we'll see.
Anyway, 0141-951-1025. Give us a call right now, please. We're getting closer. Celtic fans, Aberdeen fans, how are you feeling about the Scottish Cup final? Brendan Rodgers spoke at length today about what it would mean to get the treble and what that would mean for this season, because there's a double and, crucially, this season, a bit of European success, some good results in Europe. So what would the treble mean this time around? He also says the door is not closed on Greg Taylor's time at Celtic. This does not have to necessarily be his final game in a Celtic shirt. So how do you feel about that? How do you feel overall, Celtic fans? Because on one hand, you've got this like almost a feeling of invincibility when you go to Hampden. Brendan Rodgers has never lost at Hampden. He's never lost a Scottish Cup tie. You're going for a sixth treble in eight seasons. Are there any glass half empty types out there that just randomly fear that this stuff has to come to an end at some point, and this could be the weekend? Or do you think there's just too much in the tank for that to happen? Give us all your thoughts heading into the game, please. Whether that's team lineups, should James Forrest play? What does the makeup of the team look like? Is it Paolo Bernardo that replaces the injured Ariel Hatate, or is it someone else? All your thoughts, please, on the cup final. Get them in right now, because we've not really had as much cup final build up this week as we normally would, because the Ibrox rumour mill is turning. Another day without a confirmed appointment. Rangers fans, have you anything new to add? Are you feeling any differently today than you have throughout the week? Are you starting to get anxious, nervous? Are you desperate for a line to be drawn under all this and move on with your new man? Are you convinced the longer this goes on that it is going to be Steven Gerrard or Russell Martin? I feel like we're not hearing many other names now the longer we get towards the end of May. So whatever it is that's out there, give us a call right now, please. 0141 951 1025. Kilmarnock fans, the latest newspaper report suggesting Stuart Kettlewell is your man. Is that one that would satisfy you or not? Again, give us a call. And your thoughts on the playoffs tonight, anything else that's out there, you know where we are. And boy oh boy, do I have a surprise for you two. You have been in Ibiza all week, not ideal preparation. And you, well, generally don't take to the type of news that I'm about to deliver too kindly. Mm-hmm. Let me take you back 5 years, more than 5 years ago. Remember we started the lockdown quiz because everybody was, you know,
5 years ago.
Well, it was, yeah. Everyone was sort of bored and nothing to do, and we didn't have a lot to talk about. So you two would go head to head in the lockdown quiz, and you, the level of success you got off of it was remarkable. We then started to do it again and again. Then it was like the remember the lockdown quiz, and then it was the 1 year anniversary of the lockdown quiz, and so on and so forth.
Don't tell me.
It's become a thing. It's become an institution, quite frankly. And tonight, in the second hour of the show, you two will be put through your paces in the end of season quiz.
Yes, I do love a quiz. And you know that, I say the same every year. Forgot about that, we did that.
It's the only thing that's talented great.
Quizzing.
Yeah, I don't like this.
It's, and it's honestly real. You'll enjoy it. It's going to be,
I don't enjoy it.
It's going to be based on
football.
Famous, no, yeah, but it's about the season that's just passed. But all the rounds are based on popular quiz shows.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
So there's a bit of imagination going into it. And of course, the listeners play along at home and try and beat you two.
Well, they won't beat me, but I know you take this pretty pretty much to heart, doesn't it?
It
goes away feeling badly about himself.
I won't sleep tonight. I'll feel low as a snake's belly.
We have actually tried everything. I don't know if I can admit this, or maybe I did in the past. I gave you the answers to the quiz one time and you still lost. I gave you a couple of the rounds.
Yeah, you did.
Did you not pull it back spectacularly on the... It was like a music round or something.
Yeah, my music was okay.
Oh, is there a music round?
Ooh, it could be.
You were good at that. You are good at that. All the old tunes.
Well, music was my first love, wasn't it?
That'll be good. I thought this was going to be a hard shift as well, coming back off a flight from Ibiza.
You've not heard the questions yet.
It's a bit more relaxed when it's a quiz.
He's just off the flight.
Like, literally.
Yeah. The opposite of Calvin Harris, he jets in to Ibiza and for these gigs out. And I jet out to here.
What time did you land?
About an hour and a half ago, 4 o'clock or something like that.
You'll be all over the place. You'll be asleep by 7 o'clock. 0141 951 1025. Look, hopefully you enjoy it. Hopefully it's a bit of fun just because it's calming down and it's towards the end of the season. But what it does mean is we need to rattle through as many calls as we can. Get your calls in now and we'll do something a bit different in the second hour. But for the meantime, it's business as usual. Let's go to Simon, who called up first. How are you, Simon?
Yeah, guys, how you doing? Hope you're all well.
Yeah, good, thanks. What's on your mind tonight?
So, I'm on holiday right now, and I was having a nice beer, very enjoying my evening. Then I read that Stuart Kettlewell's getting the Kilmarnock job by according to the Daily Record. And I like to think on here, I'm normally quite calm, quite level-headed, especially in comparison to some Kilmarnock fans who've been losing the plot about McInnes. But I'm actually angry. I'm frustrated. I feel like it's a lazy appointment. I feel like it's an unimaginative appointment. It's a guy who left a job of a similar size club. Motherwell fans, I've spoke to a lot of Motherwell fans, and they have pretty much said that the stuff with the family was overblown, if it even happened at all. It was a convenient way for him to get out of a situation that was only going one way and leaves himself open for another club. And it seems to have worked. I think it's a terrible appointment. I actually think Billy Bowie should have learned his lesson now with the appointments he's made when he spent money, i.e. Derek McInnes, Steve Clarke. We've got really, really good success. But in this one, he's scrimping and saving. I don't know whether it's because we're going back to grass or whether it's because we're building a training ground. But yeah, it's absolutely ruined my day. And I think it's a really, really poor appointment, and one that, you know, isn't going to do the fans any favours. We were looking for something fresh. We were looking for something exciting. And another Scottish, you know, sort of merry-go-round manager just doesn't do it for us.
Look, I know there was a lot of noise when Stuart Kettlewell left his job, Simon, but just to try and balance up a bit, do you not think he did a pretty good job at like a similarly sized club with similar challenges, and, you know, got strong enough league finishes and sold on, you know, players for big money, got a tune out of players that people wouldn't expect, like Theo Bear, and sold on for big money, and, you know, played a big part in Lennon Miller's development or Blair Spittle or whatever. You know, that would be the other side of it. Does none of that do it for you?
He did okay at Motherwell, but then you could also argue that without a generational talent like Lennon Miller and a guy in Theo Bear who had a wonder season, you know, he'd have probably had his jotters long before, you know, he did leave. I think it's a... And obviously, you can't just fully write off what he did involvement in that. Obviously, I wouldn't do that. But I just think it's unimaginative. I think it's an appointment that's not going to excite any Kilmarnock fans. And if the reaction by the Kilmarnock fans online is anything to go by, even people I know, like the guys I sit next to at the football, normally really level-headed guys, they're already saying, you know, I was humming and hawing about getting a season ticket, but, you know, waiting to see who the new manager would be. This one's just unimaginative and unexciting, and it's not going to woo any Kilmarnock fans back. Obviously, I'll support him, you know, if he gets the job, and I hope he does well. I hope he proves me wrong, and I'm able to come on here and say how much of an idiot I was, but I really don't see it happening.
It's the nature of football.
It's not a ringing endorsement from Simon on the line.
No, listen, and Simon at the end of the day is a Kilmarnock supporter and pays his money, loves his club, he wants the best for his club. I like the fact when he finished after saying that Kettlewell was not for him, that, look, if he gets the job, I'll support him, I'll back him, which is great, because you never know what's going to happen in football. Look, he's seen the perfect example last night with Tottenham Hotspur. Postecoglou was getting chased out of Tottenham all over the place, and yet he goes and wins a scrappy game, wins that cup, gets him into the Champions League, and all of a sudden they're all shouting, please don't leave. So football is a sort of a... It's an ups and downs game. One minute you're flying high, next minute you're down. Look, Motherwell fans, I think there'll be a lot of Motherwell fans out there will agree with Simon, right? Maybe style of play, stuff like that, and the way the substitutions and all these results and whatever it may be. But there's other Motherwell fans like yourself, Gordon, and me, think that he'd done a very good job at Motherwell, right? And it's okay saying, well, he had the talent of Lennon Miller. He had to nurse him through. He had to bring him through. He had to work with him day in, day out. So he improved him. Theo Bear was his biggest success. Couldn't score a goal. Was it St. Johnstone? Couldn't score a goal. Hardly scored a goal when he came in at Motherwell. And the money he made for the club on him was incredible. So there's pros and cons about this. Look, you can't tell what a manager's got to do until he comes in the building. You will sit there like Rangers just now. Some fans want Steven Gerrard. Other fans don't. They want to go in a different direction. I take on board what Simon's saying. But if he does come in, you've at least got to give him a chance.
It's very difficult for owners of clubs or boards or sporting directors to really get the popular vote right. So I don't envy them in that respect. It depends which, you know, way the Kilmarnock board want the club to go. Stuart Kettlewell, he's a right in citing all those good stuff, and as well as promoting youth. That's a big thing for Scottish clubs, and probably should be big for Kilmarnock. They've just had an under 18 team that's won the Youth Cup. Would Stuart Kettlewell's appointment kind of coincide with the development of some of the players? Probably, because he's got a track record there, as well as being at Ross County and developing players. So you've got to take that into consideration. I don't think his time at Motherwell ended well, or you know yourself, with sections of the Motherwell fans didn't take kindly to what was said, but it doesn't mean that he wouldn't be the right manager to take Kilmarnock for. But I agree with Simon as well. There is a lot of, you know, managers that are just recently lost their jobs or left their jobs, just get connected right away with a big vacancy like Kilmarnock. I just wonder if there's something else up their sleeves.
Simon, have you got somebody in mind who you would like to see?
Who would you prefer?
Yeah, so just on that quickly about the youth thing that Mark brought up, we actually played more young players than Motherwell did under Stuart Kettlewell, under Dave McInnes, and he got a lot of stick from the Kilmarnock fans for not playing young players enough. So I also think it was, like, no disrespect to Patrick Thistle, but I would have been flabbergasted if they brought Kettlewell in instead of Mark and Brian Graham. I think they've done an excellent job. That would have been an imaginable appointment if it goes ahead. And if they brought Kettlewell in instead, I would have been, that's a crazy appointment at Partick Thistle, who are obviously a smaller club in Kilmarnock. So I think it's a crazy situation. But in terms of names, I would have Robbie Nielsen probably would have been a realistic one. He's just left his job in the States, but he had a really good record here. I think Neil Lennon would have been a really good appointment as well. Somebody go and ask the question of him. Somebody who could rebuild the club, get everybody behind them. I think some of the other names that were mentioned, Tisdale, who's at Celtic, I think, as like head of operations. The rumours were down here that he did an interview. I think that would have been an interesting appointment, something that would have been a bit out of the box and something that would have maybe encouraged Kilmarnock fans a bit. But I just think this is we've appointed a bottom six manager, and a manager who doesn't really have a track record of pushing towards Europe, which is what we should be aiming for. And I feel like it's just a cop-out, really. I feel it's a really, really poor appointment. As Gordon says, if he starts doing well and we see some progress in the park, I'd love to see a proper, you know, game plan, a style of play. I think we had that last season, but this season just gone, I feel we kind of lost that a little bit. I'd love to see something like that, but yeah, I'm not too enthusiastic about it, but as I say, I'm willing to give them a shot, but I feel it's a cheap option and one, I'm afraid, I don't think it's got very much a chance of success.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen yet, but that was the report today. Thank you very much to Simon on the line. Gary's a Celtic fan and we will speak to him next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are about to be joined by Gary, who's on the line. How are you, Gary?
I am not too bad, guys.
Good. What are you thinking tonight?
I'm just really thinking that coming to the end of the season and Celtic on course for a treble. I'm totally not underestimating Aberdeen, by the way, but I'm thinking a wee bit ahead. And did the Celtic look to strengthen next season? Because I'm not really fancy trusty, to be honest. And I don't know, it seems to chop and change between them and Scales a lot. So I'm wondering, with that in mind, where do the panel think Celtic might look to strengthen next season?
Mark?
I think centre-back will be one. We were chatting about it at the weekend as well. Trusty, for such a big price tag, impressed in the Champions League games, but domestically struggled, which is strange. Scales does a good job every time he's in, but I think you maybe need better if you're going to progress the club, and that's what Celtic and Brendan Rodgers always look to do, progress the club, not just stand still. Striker is one for me. You obviously lose Kyogo, and you've got Edan, you've got Maeda, of course, but I think you need a recognised striker to compete with Ida rather than constantly flip-flopping with Maeda. I think you need someone there to carry the can. Now, Kenny's there or thereabouts, and he'll have time to prove himself in pre-season, but I think at a club like Celtic, you always need three top strikers to carry you this season.
Without a shadow of doubt, centre-back. Depends on Greg Taylor. We know Tierney's coming into the building. If Greg Taylor doesn't sign that contract, then obviously left-back's got to be a must.
What does the full department look like? Because not necessarily disagreeing, but we keep saying this about Liam Scales, and he keeps sort of seeing off people and, you know, keeps staying in the team. I wonder if he's maybe a bit underappreciated.
Then
we had a caller last night saying, and you missed it, you're his biggest fan, that Mike Navrotsky deserves more game time. Mm-hmm. Brendan Rodgers was saying for that game that Navrotsky came in, it would have been Dane Murray would have played and got the chance had he not got injured. So he's got a lot. There's a lot of bodies then, if another one's coming in.
I think they need to get rid of one or two. But look at the amount of games Celtic play in important games, and obviously Champions League and everything like that. And they're going for a treble as well. So they're in every tournament right up to the end. So there's a lot of fixtures there. So they need a big, big squad. I agree with you. I think Scales does all right. I think he comes in for a little bit of unfair criticism at time. I think in Europe, Trusty and Carter Vickers has been solid. I really like the look of Trusty in Europe. But for some reason, domestic football, he switches off quite often. But certainly through the middle. If you lose Kyogo, I know that you've got that mixture there with Maeda and Ida, but I certainly think you'll need someone through the middle. And I think they'll look to go in the wide areas as well.
See, just out of curiosity, why does no one ever talk about the possibility that someone wants to buy Cameron Carter-Vickers? Because you all talk about Rio Hatate, Daizen Maeda, Nicholas Kuhn, Kyogo before him, and everyone bangs on about how good and how important Cameron Carter-Vickers is. Why does no one ever suggest that could be something that might happen? Is he not tall enough for the English Premier League, or what is it? Why does no one mention it?
I think you're hitting a good point there. I think his attributes and how he's fitted into the style at Celtic play, he's been a standout. There's no doubt about it. And Celtic got him at a good price. I think that might be what holds some of the bigger clubs back. Mm. They are looking for guys that are 6'2 plus, you know, really athletic. And I'm not saying Carter Vickers isn't, but really comfortable. It tick a lot of boxes, where I think Celtic understood what they were getting when they signed him, that maybe that's why he wasn't going to, you know, make it, for a better term, down there. But in terms of Scales, I think it's the same with Scales, though. I think Brendan Rodgers will clearly know Scales' level. I think Scales has done remarkably well. But if he wants to progress to the next level, the club to the next level, you need someone with better attributes.
Don't get me wrong, and I know they got relegated, but Austin Trusty played over 30 times in the English Premier League last season, and Carter Vickers is better than him, isn't he? As a very loose comparison. Anyway, I've taken you off on a tangent. What do you think about left back, Gary? Because Kieran Tierney's there. Do you think he'll be alongside Greg Taylor, or will it be someone else?
Personally, I mean, I love Kieran Tierney, and it's the ideal scenario for Celtic. A young boy can rock through the youths, and he went for big bucks, and, you know, fair play to the boy. He wanted a big challenge, and Celtic benefited out of it. But, you know, he's coming back. He's got a wee bit of an injury concern. Is he going to slot straight back into the team? And I think it seems a bit unfair in Greg Taylor, the way Greg Taylor served the club. And I personally don't think he should walk back into the team. I hope Greg Taylor signs a contract and they make Kieran Tierney work for the position. You know, and I also think as well that they might potentially need a goalkeeper in, because, I mean, how much left has Kasper Schmeichel got? Sinisalo looked decent, but, you know, if Kasper Schmeichel goes, we're going to need more goalkeeper cover. So,
unless they do feel that Sinisalo is going to be the next man, and then you sort of don't need to worry about what your future number two looks like as such. But I don't know, we'd need to see what that progression.
I'd be surprised. I think Schmeichel's got a good bit left in him by the looks of it. I think Sinisalo looks a pretty safe bet just now. I think that's good recruitment, because it's been poor in that department. I think for many years it's never been right, the one and two. Always got a strong number one, but number two has been up for consideration. Spot on with Tierney and Taylor. And, you know, I've been consistent saying this all season, that Taylor should be awarded a new contract, and I'd like to see him stay. And it just gives a bit of variety. I wonder how Tierney, as good a player as he is, takes to that sort of inverted role. I think Tierney's a better option on the outside if you're playing a conventional fullback role, with a Taylor. If you have to change a game, or you've got different tactics going into a European game, you can use Taylor because he's hugely experienced. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Brendan Rodgers saying it might not be his last game. Interesting to see Taylor's post, because everything goes by Instagram these days. With the trophy. And I thought, is that a message saying his time's coming to an end? But I'd like to see that resolved. I think a lot of Celtic fans are on that same wavelength now after seeing
whilst Gary's on the line, let's play the clip. Let's hear Brendan Rodgers' answer on it, because he was asked today, will this be Greg Taylor's final game in a Celtic shirt? And here is what he had to say.
I had a long conversation with Greg yesterday. I think it's, no, the door's not closed. I think probably both he and I just sort of focusing really on performance level of the team. And I think once the season's over Saturday, then he'll have obviously a bit more thinking time with a lot more space to be able to do that. So, yeah, so I wouldn't shut the door totally on it. I think I gave probably a number of weeks back my feeling what may happen, just having experienced so many of these situations and what it can look like. But I would definitely say it's not 100% would be his last game.
Read into that.
Listen, I think it would be a good bit of business if Celtic could keep Taylor. I think Mark makes a great point. There's times when, you know, Celtic like to play. You've seen it at the weekend when he moves into Midley Park. He can play a couple of positions, Taylor, and he's comfortable with that, especially from the fullback areas.
He's not really going to play in there, though, is he? Realistically.
No. I mean, and the way they play.
Oh, within the left-back role. Yeah, sorry.
Mark quite rightly points out that Tierney's an up-and-down, you know, strong runner, willing runner, terrific player. I think Tierney will certainly start the number one left back, and it's up to Greg Taylor. But I don't think, you know, Greg Taylor would just sit and wait for chance after chance after chance. I think Greg Taylor's the kind of guy that you look at certain games when you want that inverted fullback to get in and double up the numbers in the middle of the park and give you a wee bit advantage. You could certainly play him. I think getting Greg Taylor tied down would be a good bit of business for Celtic, but I just think it's taken so long. I know we've been here before. I think it was it Conor Goldson, yep, we all had out the building, eventually signed. We listened to Brendan Rodgers there. There's still a bit of hope that he will sign with Celtic. I just wonder what Greg Taylor's thinking.
How are you feeling about the cup final, Gary? Everybody, every single person out there, Aberdeen fans, a lot of them would say Celtic are overwhelming favourites. They're the best team, they're the most dominant team, they've got at least a bit of form behind them. Aberdeen don't. Everything is so stacked in Celtic's favour. Is it as simple as that? Or are you the type that has a little bit of worry when these games come round?
Oh no, it never is as simple as that. I mean, we beat them quite convincingly at Hampden last time. We beat them quite convincingly in the league recently. But I just think that's in the past. This is a totally different game. It's a bigger park. I don't know, I just thought Aberdeen gave us a tighter game. I can see he's winning it, but I take nothing for granted. But I tell you what, I'll be gutted if Greg Taylor goes. But I think we'll get the treble in the bag, but it won't be easy.
I mean, Mark, you can find some sort of evidence. Maybe there was a 2-0 draw at Celtic Park earlier this season. The Scottish Cup semi-final last season went to penalties. However, 5-1 against the second string Celtic team at home just last week. Lost 4 games in a row. Celtic are unbeaten at Hampden under Brendan Rodgers. They're going for this 6th treble in 8 seasons. In fact, lost another 5-1 as well against Celtic this season, yeah, as well, didn't they? Is it, how difficult or otherwise is it to make a case for a shock this weekend?
Look, it's heavily stacked, of course, as in Celtic's favour, and so it should be with everything that's happened this season. But Gary's right to a certain extent. If you're Aberdeen and your season's done, you finish so disappointedly, you know, after Tannadice last week, you have a week to clear your mind, and the focus isn't on league positioning or balancing your squad or, you know, giving people the right amount of game time to make sure you're just focusing on that 190 minutes. And you've just highlighted some of those games there that Aberdeen did turn up. Now, remember Brendan Rodgers' first spell in charge where that treble in the Invincible season, it went down to the wire. Everybody expected Celtic to turn up and it was written in the stars that they were going to blow them away. Aberdeen got the first goal that day, didn't they? So the first goal was the all-important moments in these games, big moments. Now, if Celtic score early on, it could take the form of the semi-final and Celtic will run away with it. But if Aberdeen start quick and get a goal, needless to say, the obvious thing is it's their best opportunity, and you just never know what can happen. So heavily based in Celtic's favour, but you just never know in these finals, Gordon.
I mean, we had one, and it was only one Celtic fan last night, Gordon, who pointed out that in amongst all the James Forrest celebrations, it was an underwhelming Celtic performance, and they only drew 1-1 against St Mirren, and that kind of concerned them. And they, you know, they have to pick up their level.
But the league was tied up by then,
yeah,
Gordon.
I appreciate it.
It was a party day, you know, and sometimes Mark's been there. experience it. Sometimes you're not at your sharpest, you take your mind off a little bit of the game sometimes. And that's just natural because you're thinking, as much as it's never a, well, there's nothing really here to play for, it's a case of, let's get this game out the road, let's celebrate our title win. But this is going for a treble. Celtic will turn up a different animal at the weekend. Let's be honest about that. They're going for a treble. They've got the beat in the Aberdeen left, right and centre. I know that Aberdeen had a good day down at Celtic Park when, you know, the manager made a couple of changes and all of a sudden they looked a different outfit. But you just... I couldn't make a case whatsoever, apart from what Mark says there. It's a cup final. It's one off. Stranger things have happened, but
look at last week. FA Cup final. Now, I know Man City are having a great season, but did anybody really think, you know, Crystal Palace in the last game of the season, or the second last game down there of the season, was going to pit Pep with his full kind of strength squad going at it for his only piece of silverware? Everybody would have thought Man City would have turned up and battered Crystal Palace, but the moments in the game went for Palace and they won the cup. So those things can happen in a final. Celtic have to be guarded against it. The first goal is going to be so important.
Let's bring in Andy. Thank Gary for his time and see what Andy's got on his mind.
Hi Gordon, hi guys, how's it doing? Long time no speak.
Good.
Listen, just before I make my point, just a wee observation about last night, Postecoglou. I thought it was great, right? All the pundits north and south of the border, present company obviously excluded, going on about how Postecoglou couldn't compete in Europe because he couldn't adapt his tactics, and then he went out and parked the bus in the second half and won 1-0. I thought it was quite funny, to be honest with you, but I thought it was great, but it just shows you sometimes pundits, no, you guys obviously, Mark Wilson, was obviously pundits sometimes can maybe say Angel never won by no changing, but I think Mark changes tune towards the end, so no offence. Listen, my main point,
see, on that though, I think it's a good point to raise. I don't mind diving in on it because it was great last night, wasn't it? And I thought from, no, the game wasn't great, for goodness sake, but listen, see all that stuff, it was rubbish, but
football's an entertainment.
Yeah, but I don't remember going, oh, that 2003 Champions League final wasn't very good. It's, you win a European trophy, like, who cares? Yeah, if we were watching it for entertainment at the time, I'm talking about the story, much more important than how entertaining the game was.
I was delighted for him, right? And the reason why, he took a lot of stick, and he came out with the bravest statement, and I'll be remembered for years upon years when he says, look, I win trophies my second season. And there you were last night.
You put a heck of a lot of pressure. Everybody was desperate to hang him on those words.
And they would have. They certainly would have. But I loved the bravery of it. Look, it wasn't the greatest game, but I totally agree with Andy. I seen a manager last night that was always, you know, tagged with, he's an attacking manager. They sat in last night in the last, 15, 20 minutes. They defended with their lives. They obviously work in that as well. I thought they were excellent in that spell because Manchester United, who are very, very poor, I've got to say, threw everything at them. I was delighted for him. I really was. I think he deserves it. I think he deserves it because he's brave enough to come out and say things that other managers don't say. And he puts himself out there. And people just wait for him to fail to have a real go at him. And his statement about, I won things, I'm a serial winner. That's confidence in your own ability, and well done to him.
Do you know what I liked about it, Mark? I felt like there was quite a lot of support from Scottish football. Yeah. Celtic fans, obviously, right, for obvious reasons. But I felt like everyone else was still a bit annoyed that sort of somebody that had worked up here was getting that treatment. You know, I didn't see too many, even on the other side of the divide up here, and maybe I'm just looking in the wrong place, but I didn't see too many who didn't want that kind of mic drop moment that people kept talking about.
Because everybody wants your league to be recognised for what it is. A great league, competitive, everybody spends their money and supports it and consumes it, and then it's just dismissed down south. Still to this day, it's dismissed, even though players get in there and make a name for themselves. They're waiting on somebody failing to say, the achievements up there don't matter. So it was magnificent last night, and to touch on Andy's point, changing tactics from him shows what a top-class manager he is. And I love Ange Postecoglou's style. Really do. I enjoy watching his teams. And last night was totally different. For him to recognise that, you know, deserves all the plaudits in the world.
What else have you got for us, Andy?
We go on every season about, right, so who's Celtic going to sign and what positions need upgraded. I think you've already spoken about that in the show tonight. My question here is it no maybe time to just tweak the model just a wee bit, right? And would they not be maybe looking at the wage structure and guys like, let's just say your top performers are now Dyson Maeda, Cameron Carter-Vickers, say Engels, I don't know, pick whoever you want to pick, right? Is it not maybe time to secure these guys and give them the sort of money they might be offered to leave the club? And then your recruitment goes to improve the team with the guys in it. Because the truth is, right, you can talk about what targets may well be in centre-forward, definitely one, right? But you look at targets and you bring a guy in, and then towards the end of the transfer window, you sell one of your stars. You're sort of at least back to square one or worse. My thought would be, by tweaking the process of goal, which has worked really, really well, to say in the next 2 years, we ain't going to sell our top players. We're going to give them extended contract with better money. It may well mean we need to change the wage structure, but Celtic do have the money just now.
How do you make serious money off it though, Andy? Because it's purest form. That's what football fans want. It's like a modern thing. You don't want to really worry about selling players. You want to keep them all. But yep. How does Celtic make money? You get about three, four million, whatever it is, for winning the Premiership. Celtic already get the money if they qualify for the Champions League. Now they need to go through qualification this season. You've just kind of said there, I mean, the model's worked pretty well. But change the model, how would Celtic make money? Let's say they didn't, because by the way, you could run into some tricky teams in the Champions League qualification in the summer. Let's say they didn't quite make the Champions League. How do they continue to be successful without selling these players for big money?
Well, by changing the wage structure, let's pick an example, right? Somebody who I would sell, right, if the money was right. So you change the wage structure and you put Maeda and whoever else on better terms. I do believe the guys will know better than I will, but I do believe that the terms that you're on do have a significant influence on the transfer value. Therefore, I would suggest somebody like Nicholas Kuhn, if he was also given an extended contract, see the sales that we have now, and they're between 12, maybe 10, 25 million at the most, which is really, really good for our market, right? However, see, for our players on bigger wages, I do believe that the transfer fees also increase. So therefore, if you change the structure to keep the guys you've got, if that means, like, and I don't dislike Nicholas Kuhn, but I would sell him if the money was right. If it means that his contract becomes better, and he's definitely a saleable asset at the moment, therefore you're still bringing the money in. And what I'd say is that you made a good point that we make a stinker of a draw in the Champions League, but you can't look at it in a single season. You need to look over two or three seasons and forecast what we've got there in the years. And if we were to get break the last 16, and I know it sounds a lot, but get to the last 8, the monetary income for that replaces two or three transfers.
The only argument against that, and I'll give you one example, right? Have a look at what Celtic lately. They're going for another treble. Their European campaign this year has been good, right? You've got to say, Matt O'Reilly was the best player at Celtic, right? And no matter what he was on, would they sell him for
25 million?
25 million. And Celtic went on, and right now are still as strong, and maybe stronger. So
we'll had a better season,
yeah,
this season than the one with him. Yeah. That's not his fault, but
no, Matt O'Reilly was. So I know what Andy's saying. It'd be nice to keep your star players, take them on a little bit of extra money. But everybody will have their price, and when they go to the Premier League, the contracts that Celtic are given are getting blown out of the water with the money that the English Premier League's got.
And it's not, Andy's right, Mark, you'll know more. Like the money helps, but at the same time, players will want to test themselves at a different level. Let's even say the money was similar. It's just the way it is.
That's where I was going to say the argument falls in for me. It's sometimes not the club. The club had the best intentions of keeping these players for the fans. But the players, you're right, as much as the fans will like it or not, players still see Celtic as a stepping stone to the Premier League. And that's
and they still
players
would,
all
they
around
still
the world,
would even
by the way.
So Celtic, let's say Celtic's top earners are about 30 grand, 25, 30 grand a week.
Yeah.
If you turn that into 50, you've really, really ripped up your wage structure. Players would still want to leave.
Of course.
Maybe not as readily, I take Andy's point, but it's still seen as a football kind of journey for them, isn't it?
And by the way,
they're not knocking down the door to get out, but it's just a natural.
If they still go for 25 million, they're still going to earn 50 plus down in England. That's just a normal wage down there. So you're adjusting your wages, you're putting out more money. I don't think it would make much more of a difference.
And then you might not make as much money.
Yeah.
Because you're not selling those players. It seems difficult. Andy, we'll argue about it another time. Good man though, Andy on the line. Let me tell you about this before we move on. You could throw this into the kitty. That may make a difference. An extra £534,000. Do you like the sound of it? Well, if you want involved, you're running out of time. If you want 100 entries into the draw, text BANK to 61025. Text are £10 plus your standard network rate, or for one entry, text yes to 61025. Text are £2.50 plus your standard network rate, or call 03434269340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. The lines close at 5pm tomorrow, so do not miss out on this. Text yes to 61025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Don't forget, it's the end of season quiz tonight in the second hour of the show. Get ready for it. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. Gordon DL during the break said that the quiz turns his stomach and genuinely ruins his night. So that's what you've got to look forward to, if nothing else. But before then, we've got Premiership playoff final first leg action in Livingston. Gabriel has the teams.
Yeah, good evening, Gordon, from the home of the Setfair Arena. The yellow seats are gleaming here in the sunshine. And 1 week on from the last round, we are back here. Livingston still looking to bounce back at the first time of asking to the big time. Ross County are aiming to extend their six-year stay in the top flight after finishing 11th in the Premiership once more. Now, as we all know, the top flight team are usually favourites coming into this, and the stats point that way. 10 Premiership playoff finals over the years, but only three Championship sides have managed to make that leap upwards. But it's the old adage, Gordon. County are used to losing games. They're winless in their last nine, whilst Livy are winning matches. They've got six victories in their last seven, and none more important than the two against Partick Thistle last week. 4-0 on aggregate. And keep in mind, Livy are also one of the three clubs who have previously come up through this format. Now, these two have actually met before this campaign, the West Lothian side coming out on top in Dingwall after an enthralling 3-2 Scottish Cup tie. Andrew Shinney with the winner in the final minute. The surface always comes into play on nights like this as well. How much of an advantage will it prove to be to the home side? Well, Livingston will be hoping to take something up to the Highlands before Monday's second leg, that is for sure. But as I said earlier, Doncowie's side are used to this format, this kind of pressure. It's their third Premiership playoff final in a row. If you cast your mind back 2 years ago, they looked dead and buried against Thistle. They were 3-0 down with 20 minutes to play, and they still somehow went through in one of the greatest comebacks Scottish football has seen. And in 2024, it was a far more comfortable affair. They thumped Raith Rovers 6-1 on aggregate. Whatever happens tonight, though, do not count County out. The referee will be John Beaton. VAR, Andrew Dallas. So we do have VAR for the first time in these playoffs. Gordon, it's at 8 o'clock kickoff, so team news is not out just yet, but I'll bring it when it arrives.
Well, Mark, obviously you were involved. We were joking at your expense, as we often do at the start of the show, but seriously, you obviously saw Livingston up close in the last two legs to get beyond Partick Thistle, now take on Livy. So how do you see this one going?
Well, I like a lot what Livy do.
Take on Ross County, sorry.
And, you know, they've got an experienced side. I always think that helps you when you're going up against a Premiership side. I think they've got a good mix in there, Livy. So you look at their two centre-halves, McGowan and Wilson, who, you know, hugely experienced, but quite calm heads in possession. And then you look through their team, they've got a dynamic midfield, they've got strikers at the top end of the pitch who know where the back of the net is. So they've got a really strong starting 11. They've also got that strength on the bench as well. So I think it's going to be a difficult night for Ross County. I fancy Livingston to take a lead into the second leg.
I'm going with the Premiership team. I think it's always difficult. I look at the, and no disrespect to Mark's team, I think that it was a long road to get to Premier League. A lot of games, obviously injuries and everything like that. But I look at Ayr United as well. If there's anybody got to take on the 11th spot in the Premier League, I think the strongest team was Livingston after Falkirk. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's very, very tight. But over the two legs, I still fancy Ross County. I know they're going in with no form whatsoever, but they seem to save their best to these sort of a games, and they rise to the occasion. And I think they'll just pip Livingston.
I don't think the Livingston team is out yet, Gabriel, but you could give us the Ross County team.
Yeah, Gordon, still waiting for Livingston's team news, but Ross County, interestingly, named the exact 11 that drew with Motherwell on the final day of the Premiership. So it's Jordan Amisa in goal, Akil Wright, Will Nightingale and Zach Ashworth as a back three, and Mickey Efete and Ellie Campbell, the wing-backs, with Connor Randall, Josh Nisbet and Noah Kenner in the middle. Up top, Alex Samuel and Ronan Hale. Subs, Logan Ross, Kieran Phillips, Jonathan Tomkinson, George Harmon, Jordan White, Dylan Smith, George Roberston, Jamie Williamson and Joe Coyle.
Yeah, still no Livingston team, I suppose, though, you know, Ronan Hale, maybe the man that Ross County would look to mm-hmm. to try and get the goals that keeps them up. They did have Simon Murray before, you know, and he was in a bit of a hot streak. Have they got the same... They got the same firepower now?
I think Hale's not bad for them. I think he can get a goal, obviously. Look, it's going to be tough tonight. There's no doubt. David Martindale will have his team fired up, especially at home. And Mark touched on it. They've got experience throughout their team and good players. So it will be tough. But I've got a little sneaky that Ross County will just stay in the Premiership for another year.
Again, just with Livy, I think... A good comparison, Gibbs mentioned it there, that the cup game is a good one to look back on, and how strong Livy looked in that game in Dingwall. And that's recent history. You know, that's when the two of them were in different leagues. Now they're competing in this same competition. You know, the season behind them is done. They've been focusing on this tie now, Livy for a week. Well, Ross County as well, of course, for a week. But I just think Livy have got a lot of strength and depth in their squad. I'll be surprised if their team changes from what he played against us in the two games. I think that is their strongest side. But then he brings on Stevie May, and he's got others that he can add to the squad as well. But that starting 11, you know, pretty strong and consistent for Livy.
Okay, grab your pen and paper, because I think we'd all agree it's been a memorable season across Scottish football. But we are about to find out how memorable, because Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson and you are about to take on the end of season quiz. We're going to look back on the campaign that's been. It's going to have the flavour of some of your favourite quiz shows out there in the world of entertainment. So get that pen and paper ready, and we'll play next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to @ClydeSSB on X now.